Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday is found in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11, reading verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how untraceable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his advisor? Or who has first given to God that he will be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Dear people of God, the Roman Christians lived in Rome. That meant they were surrounded by godlessness. A Christian in Rome stuck out like a sore thumb, and they were persecuted for it. But these Christians had other problems. These Christians in Rome were really wrestling with themselves, with their faith. They did not fully understand justification or baptism or their will to sin or to fight sin. They had real problems understanding being saved by faith alone, and that God can actually love sinful mankind. And what is God actually doing in this world? And why can't he do it differently? Does that sound familiar? And so the Apostle Paul wrote for them the ultimate masterpiece of Christian epistles to explain all of these things. And in so doing, the Apostle Paul wrote every Christian's favorite book of the Bible, a book that's always relevant, always speaks to the problems and the questions of the day. Not by his own genius, of course, but rather the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Romans by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whom he praises now here at the end of chapter 11, along with the Father and the Son. Give all praise to God. He deserves it. He is still in control. He is doing what he wants to do. For the Lord possesses all wisdom. He is the giver of every gift. He is the giver of grace, and he possesses all glory. The Lord possesses all wisdom. Our text begins with Paul praising God by saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God." And I'll get to the riches part in a little while, but I want to talk about wisdom and knowledge. Is there a difference between those things, or are they pretty much the same? Well, yeah, they're pretty much the same. But if you have to differentiate between the two, our church fathers have said that wisdom has to do with eternal things, and knowledge has to do with temporal things, that is, things of this earth. And the point is that the Lord knows both. There is nothing that the Lord doesn't know. There's nothing that the Lord hasn't mastered. The Lord knows everything there is to know about the foolishness of string theory, and he also knows where every little animal lives in the woods. Which also means then, he knows you. He knows your mind. He knows your deeds. He knows what you are thinking. And that's terrifying. The fact that God knows, it makes us want to crawl into a little hole in the ground. It drives us to our knees in front of the Lord in humility and repentance. But then Paul says that the Lord is also the giver of all grace. How unsearchable are his judgments! Now, you may not realize it at first reading. You have to think about it a little bit. But what are those judgments of the Lord? When we first hear the word judgment, we get scared because it makes us think that the Lord's hammer is going to come down on us. And the Lord certainly has a hammer, and it will certainly come down, but not on you. God's holy judgment that is unsearchable, meaning unfathomable. No one could have ever figured out beforehand that this is what the Lord would come up with for a judgment. This judgment that is also untraceable, actually meaning tolerant. The Lord lets a lot go in this world, especially among his people. The Lord lets you do all kinds of things, and he does not punish you for them. It's like he's favoring you. It's like you're his own spoiled child. And this unsearchable and unfathomable judgment of the Lord who made heaven and earth is that you are justified. God's judgment is that you are not guilty of your sins. You sinners, you who gossip and drink and say all kinds of nasty things and break the Sabbath and use God's name in vain and worship yourselves, you, the Lord calls holy because of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. That is the unsearchable and untraceable and ridiculous and amazing judgment of the Lord. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' blood, and you are welcome to come into the paradise that God has prepared for his special people. That's grace. You who do not deserve God's mercy, receive God's mercy for Jesus' sake alone. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his advisor? See what Paul is saying? That if anybody was telling the Lord what to do when he came up with this plan, he certainly would have advised the Lord to do the opposite. Lord, don't save those people. They're terrible. Go find some good ones. But the Lord did not have such a person whispering logical things in his ear when he came up with the foolishness of the gospel. No, the Lord's judgment is that you of all people should receive his grace, his undeserved love. And one of the neat things about this undeserved love is that if you come to the conclusion that you deserve it, you don't get it anymore. If you were to say, yeah, you know, God's right, I don't have any sin and I do deserve to go to heaven, that person has disqualified himself from going into heaven by his self-righteousness. No, the Christian lives on his knees before the Lord. We remain beggars before the Lord's throne. We are to pray every day, God have mercy on me, a sinner. See, getting God's grace is not difficult. Confess your sins to the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will treat you as his dearly loved and favorite child. Which is super awesome, because the Lord is also the giver of all gifts. He who has all wisdom also has all things. They are his. He made it, and he can do what he wants, and he can give them to whomever he chooses. Paul writes here, who has first given to God that he will be repaid? See, God owes you nothing. You have never given anything to God that he didn't already have. You never gave anything to God that he needed. The Lord did not need all that animal blood in the Old Testament And the Lord does not need your nickels now. The Lord is fine. He made everything. He owns everything. Giving to the Lord has always been for the believer's benefit, not for the Lord's benefit. Do you know where Paul got this quotation from? Did this sound familiar? This quotation here in the middle of this text is from the book of Job. The Lord let the devil do terrible things to Job. The devil destroyed Job's house, his children, his workers, his animals, his health. The devil was even able to destroy Job's relationship with his wife for a while. And when Job, whom James and Jesus both say was the most patient man to have ever lived, finally agreed with his friends and said, "Yeah, you know, the Lord is picking on me." Well, then the Lord showed up and ripped him a new belly button. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand anything about it. Have you ever in all your days given a command to the morning? Have you ever set a time for the sun to rise? Is a wild ox willing to serve you, Job? Will it spend the night at your manger? Who can stand before me? Who can confront me and demand that I repay him? Everything under the whole sky belongs to me." Now don't forget the rest of the story. Job also then repented. And the Lord gave him more than he had before. Because, well, the Lord is the giver of all gifts. The Lord owes you nothing, but he gives you everything. He has given you his Son, salvation in his name, faith and strength to endure this crazy world, not to mention your health and wealth and food and good neighbors. And that is just one of the many reasons that the Lord deserves all glory. He is the possessor of all glory. Now we give the Lord what little glory we have when we sing praises to him, and we will do it much better in his presence in heaven. But the Lord has glory mainly, well, just because he has all glory. Again, the Lord is fine. He doesn't really need what we give him. If we didn't glorify the Lord, he wouldn't be lacking any glory. If we didn't praise the Lord, he could have the rocks praise him if he wanted to. It's very much like children singing in church. Now, children singing in church does not bring such glory to God because it's good singing. It's usually not very good at all. But we like it, and the Lord receives it because it comes from the hearts of children who own the kingdom of heaven. You can see their faith. You can see their love for Jesus as they praise him with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their strength. They love Jesus. And you love Jesus. Not because you have to, but because he has convinced you that from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.